we present Brothers-in-Law by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson, based on the novel by Henry Cecil and starring Richard Brier, with John Glyn Jones, Julia Lockwood, Bridget Armstrong, Gene Anderson, and Blake Butler. Episode 2, One Double or Two Single.
Good morning, sir. I didn't expect you as early.
Don't you worry, Alec, my dear fella. No, don't get up, don't get up. Just answer the phone. Perhaps the Prime Minister wants some personal advice.
I could give him some. Mr. Grimes, Chambers? The clerk speaking.
Good morning. I don't suppose you remember me.
Of course I do, sir. A very happy new year to you, sir, if it isn't too late.
Oh, that's very clever of you after all these years.
It's my job, sir. And anyway, I'd never forget Mr. Postlethwaite.
Maybe you wouldn't, but my name's Braithwaite.
Of course, sir. How stupid of me. Mr. Braithwaite of Coombs and Blockley.
Mr. Braithwaite of Braithwaite and Braithwaite.
I'm so sorry, sir.
No, as I want you to do me a favor, I'll overlook it this time, Mr. Drake.
Blake, sir. I'm not surprised you didn't know, sir. Everybody calls me Alec.
As I was saying, Mr. Blake, I want you to do me a favor.
Certainly, if I can, sir.
I'll hold you to that, Mr. Blake. You can.
Then it's as good as done, sir. Excuse me just a moment, sir. I've got to answer the door. Do you know Braithwaite and Braithwaite, sir? Are they all right?
Splendid firm, my dear fellow. I trust my dear old mother with them.
But I thought she was dead, sir.
Quite. All right, Alec, you can do him a favor.
So sorry to have kept you, sir.
Just asking Mr. Grimes if we were all right, I suppose.
Good gracious, no, sir. What could have made you think that?
You want to know, do you?
Not particularly, sir.
Well, I'll tell you. You didn't cover the mouthpiece sufficiently with your hand. Please thank Mr. Grimes for his unsolicited testimonial, Mr. Blake.
Now that we've cleared the air, sir, what favor can I do for you?
An undefended divorce case has come into the list unexpectedly. One of our litigation clerks is ill and we missed it. It's in tomorrow. You couldn't by any chance get Mr. Grimes to do it?
I'm afraid not, sir. He's in the Court of Appeal.
Oh. Well, there's nothing in it, really. Only it's in front of Mr. Justice Bulstrode.
Bulstrode, did you say? He can be difficult.
Yes. Have you got anybody else who could do it?
Well, we have a Mr. Roger Thursby, sir, but I'm afraid he's still only a pupil.
Has he been in court before?
Oh, yes.
Can he stand up to Bulstrode?
Judges quail before him, sir.
It should be an interesting experience. I wish I could get there myself. I'll send a clerk down with the papers. Thank you, Mr. Drake.
Thank you, sir.
Well done, Alec. What should we do without you?
Is that you, Roger?
Evening, Mother.
You're home early today.
I want to have a bath and change before I go round to Sally's.
Very wise. Have you had a hard day in court?
Well, I haven't actually been in court today.
Oh, Roger, still no briefs?
On the contrary, I've got a case coming on tomorrow.
There, I knew the solicitors would start asking for you soon. Shall I come and listen to you one day?
What do you mean, one day?
Well, these important cases go on for weeks, don't they?
Ah, well, I don't think this one will last quite as long as that.
How long will it last, then?
About half an hour.
Darling, what on earth sort of a case is it?
Undefended divorce.
But you said it was important.
It is, for the people who want the divorce.
Oh, well, perhaps it'll lead to bigger things, and you'll get a fee, I suppose.
Well, certainly I get a fee.
Oh, that's good. Then you can pay me some rent.
Mother, you weren't serious when you asked me to pay for my own room in my own house.
Well, just till my ship comes in, darling.
What ship?
Oh, I don't know. Your Uncle George might die and leave me all his money.
Mother, you can't just live on hope.
Yes, I can, with a bit of faith and charity thrown in.
Charity?
It begins at home, darling.
What's that?
Nothing.
There's someone in the kitchen.
Oops, so there is.
Who is it?
Just a girl.
What girl?
Joy Merivale.
She's not here again. Mother, this is too bad.
Well, you'd never have known if you hadn't come in early. She'd have been gone.
She shouldn't be here at all.
Don't you think you're being rather silly about Joy?
No, I do not. I simply can't go on fooling around with Joy. Now I'm engaged to Sally.
There's no need to fool around, Roger. Just treat her normally. normally.
Don't you understand, Mother? With Joy, fooling around is normal treatment.
If you're afraid of her, Roger, you'll just have to go to your room.
She'll follow me there.
Lock the door.
There isn't a key.
You put a chair against it.
Mother, you can't expect me to pay rent and then have to hump the furniture about.
You haven't paid any rent yet, darling.
Don't change the subject.
What is the subject?
Joy, you've got to stop asking her here.
I can't, Roger.
Can't? Why not?
I need the money.
What money?
The fee. She's my pupil.
Oh. You're what?
I'm giving her lessons.
You can't be.
Why not?
You don't know anything.
Know how to cook.
You're teaching Joy to cook.
That's right, darling. She's my first pupil. But I'm hoping to get a little class together. There's half a dozen girls, all like Joy.
What? No, it's impossible.
We'll see.
But why on earth should Joy want to learn cooking?
For when she gets married.
Oh, she's getting married. Thank heaven for that. Who to?
You, I think.
Oh, good. Look, what?
Well, of course, I know you're engaged to Sally at the moment, but somewhere anyone can make a mistake.
I have not made a mistake.
Are you sure, darling? Joy is such a sweet girl, and Sally's, well...
Mother, don't you like Sally?
Oh, yes, I like her, but you must admit she's a bit bossy.
Nothing of the sort. She just happens to know her own mind.
That's what I mean. She knows her own mind, and you don't.
I know my own mind, too, Roger.
Everybody knows your mind, Joy. It's one track.
Such a lovely track, that. Come into the kitchen a minute, Roger.
What for?
I want to show you my barbers.
Your what? I had it up. I'm going to my room to move the furniture about.
What on earth for?
Because there isn't a key.
Oh, I expect that'll be the drinks.
Oh, good. What drinks?
For your party tomorrow.
I'm not giving up.
No, dear, I am. For you and Sally, for your engagement.
It's the first I've heard of it.
I knew I'd forgotten to invite someone.
Mother, if you've ordered a lot of drinks, who on earth's going to pay for it?
The wine merchant at the moment. I've still got an account. Oh, there, he's getting impatient. Look after Joy for a minute. Go and taste her barber.
What?
Just a bite. They were soaked in rum.
Look. A rum barber. Oh, yeah. You mean sort of little cakes?
Of course.
Oh, yes, yes. All right, yes. Just a quick nibble, then.
There you are, Roger. On the kitchen table. My first cookery lesson.
And your last, I hope.
What did you say, darling?
Lovely, darling. Not bad at all. Lovely. Well, thank you very much, Joy. Goodbye. I don't suppose we'll meet again.
Darling. What are you in such a hurry for?
I've got a change. Going round to Sally's.
Oh, lucky Sally. Having you to spend the night with her.
She is rather, isn't she? What do you mean? I'm not spending the night there.
Aren't you, Roger? Don't you ever do it?
Do what?
Spend the night with Sally.
Sally isn't that sort of girl.
Don't be silly, Roger. All girls are that sort of girl at heart. Only some need more pushing than others.
Do you think so?
Try giving her a little prod and see. After all, you're supposed to be engaged. I wouldn't need any pushing.
No, you'd be right in there shoving, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't mind, Roger, even without being engaged.
Wouldn't you really? Well, in that case, no, no, no. What am I saying? Don't come a step nearer. You disturb me strangely.
It's not strange, darling. It's natural. But I must say, I think it's a bit hard on you.
What is?
Sally being like that about it.
It? Oh, I see what you mean. Yes.
I don't know how you can bear it.
Well, now you come to mention it, nor do I.
Strain must be appalling.
Oh, it is. It's intolerable.
Besides, you ought to find out if it's all right before you get married.
Ought I?
I mean, suppose you were incompatible. That sort of incompatibility ruins more marriages than anything.
You're absolutely right. As it happens, I've got a divorce case on tomorrow.
Roger, darling.
Yes?
I'm quite sure you and I aren't incompatible.
I dare say that this isn't the time or the place to find out.
We could go to your room and move the furniture.
No, 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 no. Go away. Now, Dad, don't touch me. Now, you're creating a disturbance again.
And you love it, don't you?
No, no.
Oh. Hello, you two. Oh, you look cozy in here. Oh, my goodness, what's that boiling over?
It's me. Good night, Mother. Don't wait up for me.
I thought you were going to have a bath and change.
I did. I've got to get out of here right away before it's too late. I'm going straight round to Sally's.
Oh, Roger, darling, do stop pacing about. What's the matter with you?
I don't know how I can bear it, Sally.
What?
The strain.
What strain?
Sally, there's something I've got to ask you.
All right. What is it?
It's... Well, it's...
Yes?
Did you know about this party of my mother's tomorrow?
Of course. It's for us. I think it's sweet of her.
She might have told me.
Well, didn't she?
Not till this evening. She's impossible. Everybody else knew, even that damn girl.
Which damn girl?
Mother's teaching her to cook.
What's she like?
You wouldn't care for her. She's a pusher. Sally, there's something I've got to ask you.
You asked me already.
No, not that. Something else.
All right, Roger. What is it this time?
It... Well... It... Sally... Will you live with me?
Yes, of course.
You will?
Well, naturally we'll live together when we're married.
Oh, then. Yes. No. Well, no, I was thinking of now. I didn't mean that sort of live with. I meant more sort of spend the night with.
Oh. I don't know about that.
But you must know.
Why?
You're so bossy.
What?
No, I mean, you always know your own mind.
Well, not this time. Roger, I don't think I'm that sort of girl.
All girls are that sort of girl.
How do you know?
What? Oh, well, as a student of human nature...
Roger, is it so important to you?
Look, I'm not thinking of myself. This is for both of us.
Well, yes, I suppose it would be.
What I mean is, after we're married, it'll be too late.
Too late? I wasn't proposing to stay engaged for 70 years.
No. Has it never occurred to you, what if we're incompatible?
I don't think that's very likely.
Well, how do we know unless we try? An incompatibility fills the divorce court.
Roger, supposing I said yes.
I stop pushing.
Where?
Where what?
You couldn't spend the night here. A flatlet house with girls popping in and out to borrow sugar all the time. And it would be unthinkable at your mother's.
Oh, absolutely. All that furniture moving. Look, I tell you what. We'll go to a hotel.
Oh, but that's so sordid.
Ah, not necessarily. There are discreet hotels.
How do you know?
Well, there must be. People are at it all the time. So I tell you what, I'll find a hotel, you bring a toothbrush to the party tomorrow, and we'll play it by ear.
But, Roger, if you're the type who takes girls to hotels, I expect you'll go on doing it after we're married.
Of course I will.
What?
Well, we have a honeymoon, won't we? And holidays and the odd weekend.
Well, I don't mean taking me to an hotel. I mean any old girl.
Sally, I wouldn't dream of taking any old girl to a hotel.
Better not, Roger, because that sort of thing fills the divorce courts, too.
Oh, I know. In this case I've got tomorrow is the same old thing. A squalid double bed in a sordid hotel room.
You make it sound so attractive.
What? Oh, no, Sally, I mean, it'll be quite different for us. I don't know how I'm going to get through tomorrow. A case in the morning, a party in the evening, and then... Alec? Oh, there you are. About this case of mine, when will it be on?
It's first, before Mr. Justice Bulstrode.
Ah. Bulstrode?
Bulstrode, sir.
Oh. Well, a judge is only a judge, I suppose.
That's the spirit, sir. I told the solicitor that judges quailed before you.
Quite right.
You would better go and see Mr. Grimes now, sir. He'd like to have a word with you about this case. They're rather good solicitors, and he doesn't want you to make a mess of it.
Do you think I'll make a mess of it, Alec?
Do you want my honest opinion, sir?
No. I'll go see Grimes.
Come in. How are you, my dear fellow? So glad to see you. Alec told me you're going off early this afternoon. Now, that's not like you, you know, getting married or anything.
Good question. Whatever made you think of that, Grimes?
Oh, Friday's canoodling day and today's Thursday.
Grimes, please, look. Would you mind if I asked you an intimate question?
Well, intimate about you or about me, my dear fella?
About me, of course.
Oh, well, fire away then.
Do you believe in pre-marriage honeymoons?
No, my dear fella, I do not. If a thing's worth doing, it's worth doing well.
I was afraid you'd say that.
Well, then why did you ask me?
I just hoped I might get a bit of moral support.
You mean immoral support, my dear fella, and you won't get it from me. Now then, what else can I do for you?
Oh, Alex said you wanted to see me about this undefended divorce.
Oh, yes, of course, my dear fella. Now, sit down. It's all a lot of nonsense, my dear fella.
Of course it is. What is?
Well, these undefended divorces. Now, look here, one day, you mark my words, my dear fella, the breakdown of the marriage will be the test of whether there's to be a divorce or not. But today, you've got to commit a matrimonial offence. Desertion, cruelty, adultery. Ah, nasty, very nasty. But you have to do it, my dear fella. The law insists.
You don't have to do it, surely.
But if you want a divorce, you have to do it.
Oh, I see.
Positively indecent judges sitting up there insisting that people shall commit adultery. I've heard them say it, my dear fella. How can I be sure that these people really did sleep together? But they never could be sure unless they'd seen it themselves.
Is that what they mean when they talk about judges having a view?
Not exactly, no. Anyway, in this case, Your Honor, whatever you do, don't ask leading questions. Bulstrode, don't like them.
The brief just arrived, sir. I think you'd better take a look at it. I've had a look myself. The only trouble seems to be that the petitioner may be rather difficult in the witness box.
What's her name?
Oh, her name's all right. It's just Taylor.
Taylor against Taylor.
I appear for the petitioner, my lord.
Yes, Mr. Thursby.
This is a wife's petition, my lord, on the grounds of adultery. I'll call Mrs. Taylor.
Mr. Thursby.
What is it, Alec?
Take the clerk has had to go out of court. Help me to tell you to try and keep this woman on the rails. She's a difficult customer.
In what particular way?
In every way. You'll soon find out.
But how do I keep her on the rails?
But that's what you're here for, sir, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Are you Mary Gwendolyn Taylor?
Of course I am, or I wouldn't be here.
I see what you mean. And where do you live, Mrs. Taylor?
I told that to Mr. Smith.
Well, you tell a lot of things to Mrs. Smith, but you have to tell them to the court now.
All of them?
Everything I ask you.
Well, you haven't asked me anything yet, except who I am and where I live, and I've told you that.
Well, you haven't said where you live.
Oh, sorry. In Hampshire.
But where in Hampshire?
It's a little village. You wouldn't know it.
But, madam, will you kindly tell the court your full address and not waste any more time?
Well, really, I thought you were on my side. Well,
so I am, madam. It looks as though I'm going to be on your side for a very long time if we don't get on a little faster.
Who's wasting time now?
How did your married life go, Mrs. Taylor?
How do you mean, how did it go?
Well, were you happy to begin with?
Oh, yes, very.
And what happened to interfere with your happiness?
Nothing.
I assume you're not happy now.
Oh, perfectly, except for being in court.
Well, why are you in court?
For a divorce.
You didn't want to divorce your husband when you married him, did you?
Of course not.
Well, what happened to make you change your mind?
He left me.
What?
Shouldn't you ask him that?
Well, why do you think he left you?
I don't want to appear conceited, but I must tell the truth, because he was a fool.
Now, what led up to it?
Nothing.
But something must have.
All right, then you tell me.
Madam, I shan't warn you again. Don't be impertinent to counsel.
But, my lord, I don't know how to answer his question. I told him that nothing led up to my husband leaving, and he said that it must have, but as I don't know what it was, surely it's up to him to say.
Mr. Thursby, I suppose someone took a statement of this lady's evidence?
Oh, yes, indeed, my lord.
Well, they were more successful than you seem to be, Mr. Thursby.
I take this to the witness, please. Now, is that a photograph of your husband, madam?
Not a very good one.
But it is your husband.
Oh, yes, that's him, all right.
Now, is that a signature of your husband's that you see in the registration book which the usher is putting in front of you?
I'd recognize his scrawl anywhere.
Yeah. Do you recognize it in the book, madam?
I just said so.
No, I'm sorry, you haven't. You said you recognize it anywhere. I want to know if you recognize it in that book.
You are particular.
Answer the question, madam. Do you recognize the signature as being that of your husband?
I do.
And do you recognize your husband's signature on that piece of paper which the usher is putting in front of you?
Yes.
Thank you, Mrs. Taylor. Miss Jones, please.
Take the book in your right hand, madam, and repeat the words on the card. You'll find her a very good witness. I've seen her myself.
Oh, that'll be a little change anyway. Thank you very much, Alec. I'll see you later. Something
if
I want to talk to you about.
People want to talk while the oath is being taken, they must go outside.
Sorry, my lord. Now, Miss Jones, is your full name Blodwyn Jones, and are you a chambermaid at the Royal Unicorn Hotel, Crumley, Staffordshire?
Yes, indeed.
And do you remember a man whose photograph is on the witness box in front of you coming to stay at the hotel on a day last July?
I do.
Was he alone?
He was not, indeed.
Who was with him?
A lady.
Was it the lady you see sitting down there?
Oh, no, she was a very pretty lady.
Did they have one room or two?
One.
Did their room have a double bed or two single beds?
A double bed.
Mr. Thursby, suppose she had said two single beds. Would it have made any difference to your case?
None at all, my lord.
Well, then, what was the object of the question?
Well, my lord, the court has to be satisfied beyond all reasonable doubt that adultery was committed.
and I can see that any facts making this more likely should be brought out in evidence.
Yes, well, if they were in the mood to commit adultery, it doesn't seem to me that the fact they had separate beds in the same room would have proved any serious obstacle to the attainment of their object. And if, on the other hand, they were not in the mood, I don't see why the fact that they shared a bed helps your case.
Well, it might have put them in the mood, my lord.
Yes, I suppose there is something in that. Decree nisi with cough.
Sally?
Oh, Sally, there you are. Where have you been?
Talking to people. That's what a party's for, isn't it?
Did you bring it?
What?
Toothbrush.
Yes.
And I've got a briefcase in the hall with a razor and a clean shirt. Let's go.
We can't yet, Roger. This party's supposed to be for us.
A wedding reception's for the bride and groom, isn't it? But they leave first to start the honeymoon. So no one's going to notice if we slip away now. We'll have a quick snack around the corner, and then...
Where are we going, Roger?
A hotel in Bayswater. The Robinson. Very discreet.
How do you know? Have you used it before?
What? Certainly not. I asked Henry Bladerove to recommend somewhere. He's an expert.
I hope you didn't tell him why.
What do you take me for? No, I told him it was a friend of a friend.
There they go now, Henry.
Can't wait to get to the Robinson.
How do you know about that?
Well, because Roger came up to me in chambers this afternoon and asked if I knew anywhere suitable. He said it was for a friend of a friend. But he was stuttering and stammering and blushing like a schoolboy.
Yes, that's Roger, all right. Oh, dear. I seem to have pushed him too hard in the wrong direction. Henry, dear.
Yes?
Is there a restaurant at the Robinson?
Oh, there, good one. Shall we have dinner there?
Evening, Lady Fish. Very
well. Hello,
Mr.
I'm just looking for a charming hostess. Excuse me. Mrs. Thursby, dear lady.
Oh, Mr.
Many thanks. Many thanks for a delightful party.
Oh, so glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, I have indeed. Yes. And as my wife's away at the moment, staying with her sister, I was wondering if you and I might make a night of it.
Mr. Grimes, what are you suggesting?
Well, I'm only asking you if you'd like to dine with me, dear lady.
Oh, see. Well, thank you very much. I'd love to. Where should we go?
Well, I thought we might try the Robinson. I just heard young Bladegrove, he was speaking very highly of it.
Ah, here we are, Sally, darling. The Robinson.
Roger, stop it.
Oh, sorry.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. I rang up and booked a room.
What name, sir?
Thursby.
There doesn't seem to be any reservation in that name.
There must be.
For two, is it?
At the moment.
I'm sorry, sir. I wasn't sure if you were together.
Well, now you are. Have you a room?
For how many nights?
It's just for tonight.
I see. Just for tonight. Yeah. A double bed or twin beds?
We don't mind.
Quite. Yes, sir. I can let you have a twin-bedded room for one night on the third floor.
Yeah, that'll do very well. Thank you.
Will you register, please?
Both of us?
I beg your pardon?
Do you wish us both to sign?
It is not customary for husband and wife to sign, sir, though of course you may do so if you wish. You are British, I take it.
Yes.
Oh, that's all right then, sir. I just wanted to be sure. There are special regulations for foreigners. They have to register separately, and it's an offence for them to use a false name.
All this is very interesting, but why do you tell me that?
Merely gratuitous information, sir. When I was your age, sir, if I may say so, I was glad to learn. Please forgive me.
It's quite all right. I'm very obliged to you.
And I'm obliged to you, sir. Do you take tea in the morning?
Yes, please. Milk, but no sugar for both of us.
It will come in a pot.
Any luggage, sir?
Luggage? It's just this a briefcase.
And Mrs. Thursby?
My mother's not staying here. Oh! This is Mrs. Thursby. Yeah. No, just the traditional toothbrush in her bag.
I see. So, this lady and gentleman to room 300, please.
Very good, sir. This way, please. Haven't I seen you before, sir?
I don't remember.
Well, I used to be at the Splendide at Brightsea. Haven't I seen you and your good lady there, sir?
I am not his good lady.
I'm sorry, miss. Ma'am, just a manner of speaking.
When were you there?
Oh, let me see, sir. I left 3 years next Christmas.
No, we haven't been married that long.
Oh, honeymooning by any chance, sir? If you don't mind my asking.
No.
No offence, I hope, sir. I like honeymoon couples myself, sir. It gives me quite a thrill to show the young things to their room for the first time in their lives. But I ought to have known you weren't one, sir.
Why?
Well, they usually pretend they've been married for years. They overdo it, you might say.
Indeed, how interesting. Yes, well, how much further is this room?
Oh, nearly there now, sir. Just up these stairs. It's a cosy little room. You'll like it, I'm sure. Quiet and cosy. Nobody will disturb you there.
Well, I should hope not. Why should they?
Well, just a manner of speaking, sir. Here we are then, sir. Cosy, isn't it?
Lovely, lovely. Very nice. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, sir. You can see the park out of that window, sir.
Oh, good.
And the dawn out of that one. But I don't suppose that'll trouble you, sir. Well, I hope you'll be comfortable, sir. Madam?
I'm afraid I'm not very good at this sort of thing, Sally.
Glad to hear it.
Come in.
Just want to draw the curtains, sir. If it's convenient.
Of course.
You can see the park out of that window.
Yeah, and the dawn out of that one.
Have you been here before, sir?
No.
Staying long, sir?
Just the night.
What a pity. You ordered tea, sir?
Yes, thank you. That'll be all.
Very good, sir. Hope you'll enjoy your stay. I'll come back later and turn down the beds when you've unpacked.
Unpacked? You can see perfectly well we've got...
Oh, aren't people beastly, darling? Why do they always have to show that they know?
Do you think they do?
Well, of course they know. Everybody knows. Fletcher.
Must be a wrong number. Hello? Wrong number.
It's you, sir. It's been me, dear fella.
Right. Well, how on earth did you know?
Well, I saw you going up, me dear fella. I was in the restaurant with your mother. Perhaps you'd both like to join us for dinner.
Mother? Did she see me too?
Oh, don't, me dear fella, but I assume she knows all about it.
They don't even know. I'm here on my own. Please don't say anything to mother.
Oh, my dear fella, dear, I was afraid it'd be like this. Lies, deception, guilt. I've all didn't I? Thursday, me dear fella, would you mind if I asked you an intimate question?
Yes, I would, very much. Goodbye, Grimes. I'll see you tomorrow. I hope you have a pleasant evening.
Well, same to you, my dear fellow, but I doubt it.
That's torn it.
Oh, Roger, darling, don't you think that perhaps all this means we'd better wait till after we're married?
Certainly not. To go through all this and then nothing. I know Grimes is against it, but...
You talk to Grimes about us?
Of course not. I just asked him a general question.
What general question?
Well, about... I forget. Anyway, I'm quite old enough to make up my own mind. I don't have to go to Grimes to know how to regulate my private life. It's my life, not his.
Ours, darling. But, Roger, seriously, don't you think if a thing's worth doing, it's worth doing well?
Good gracious, that's exactly what Grimes said.
I think he's right, Roger. I'll just slip out and go home. Then you'll have no problem trying to explain things to Grimes and to your mother. And as soon as we're married, we won't have to blush every time anyone looks at us.
Seems a bit hard, Sally, having come all this way.
It's not very far, Roger.
It's getting all keyed up, I mean. After all, it's a thing I've never done before, and I had to talk myself into it.
Talk yourself into it? Well, that settles it. Good night, Roger. Sleep well.
No, Sally. Damn and blast. Damn and blast. Come in. My wife's been called away, so just turn down one of the beds, will you?
All right, Roger.
Thank you. Joy! What are you doing here?
I was with Henry, but I got rid of him when I saw Sally walk out.
And now you can walk out too.
But you asked me to turn down one of the beds. This one, do you think?
Yes. No. Joy, leave me alone. This is impossible.
I know it isn't, darling. You'd be surprised how easy it is.
No, Joy, don't push me. I can't stand anymore.
Roger, come back. Where are you going?
I've had enough. I'm going back to Mother.
In that episode of Brothers-in-Law, the parts were played as follows. Roger Thursby, Richard Bryars, Grimes, John Glenn Jones, Sally, Julia Lockwood, Joy, Bridget Armstrong, Mrs. Thursby, Jean Anderson, Alec, Blake Butler, Braithwaite, Douglas Blackwell, Bulstrode and Henry Blagrove, Garrett Green, Mrs. Taylor, Owen Griffiths, Miss Jones and chambermaid Joe Kendall, receptionist Alec Bregonzi, porter and associate Nigel Anthony. One double or two singles was written by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson. The program was produced by Trafford Whitelock.